Okay, Susie Sunshine is joining us right now. We're going to talk about the markets. It's really very, very important, but we just told the story. I don't know if you heard this, but we just told the story. After our party last night, which you attended, I drove you home, and as I was driving you home down Lakeshore Drive, we went past a car that was pulled over. As you may recall this, there was a car in the right lane, Lakeshore Drive, just before Oak Street. Do you recall this?
Oh, yes, and I was complaining about it.
Yes, and
you both were.
Yeah, because I said, who would just stop in the middle of Lakeshore Drive? Do you remember how animated I was about that?
Right, because it seems like they could have almost made the exit, and so they just... But they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't. And it was like, how could they not do it? Yeah, she didn't. You know who that was?
Oh, no.
Judy Pilak.
Judy, no. Say it isn't so.
Yes, that's who it was.
It was Judy.
Yep.
She broke down right there.
Cars are not treating the show very very nicely over the past couple weeks.
No, we've had a lot of incidents.
And as I dropped you off, I turned around and her car was being pulled up onto the wrecker there. And she was standing out there. I didn't realize it at the time until this. And apparently, we missed a bunch of calls that she placed to all of us last night as we were leaving the party because she was the first to leave her own damn party. And here's one of the voicemails.
Hey, B, it's me again. I really am looking for a place where I can get my car towed. I'm hoping, like, you or Ro will know something nearby. I'm on Lakeshore Drive at Goatsy.
There it is.
She left. I might get killed. She called my phone a couple times, but did not leave a message. And of course, if you do need to get your car in any way taken care of, Violetta knows how to do it because Boris owns chop shops. So it's a way that everybody knows.
She has access to that kind of thing.
I feel so bad that I didn't answer, but I didn't see the call, and that's that's the second voicemail she left.
So she left. She called me at 10:15 and 10:20, and did not leave a voicemail.
Poor Judy, though.
I know.
That's
and meanwhile, Susan and I are screaming out the window.
We're actively complaining. I thought this makes no sense. Why would someone stop here? Can't you make it to the exit? If you ran out of gas, can't you just roll your way off?
Right. Yeah. It was a battery alternator problem, turns out, and it was fairly sudden. The light went on, and then boom, she was
Then you were done. Oh, my goodness.
You should have gotten out and helped her push her car.
Yeah, okay. See, thank God. Thank God I didn't get the call. Because I would have been then required to do that, and I would not have done it. All right. Anyway, that's not why we called.
No.
Susan Schmidt.
It's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Can we talk about what has happened here? The Dow took a little bit of a pooper at the end of the week, and it is related to China, right?
Well, it's related to a lot of things. The Dow, I like your technical terms there, Ro. The Dow did end down today, down about 2%, as was the S&P and the NASDAQ, a little bit over 2%. And it's just a culmination of emotion, end-of-year concerns, nervousness in the market overall. We had, China retail sales and industrial production report today, and the numbers were pretty soft. And people are very much concerned that we've got China slowing down. We had comments out of Europe earlier this week that the European Central Bank is cautious. They're worried about industrial production. Remember that Brexit is taking its toll on Europe. People are trying to figure out what that's going to do to the economy. And then we have concerns about the U.S. economy. And have we hit peak earnings? Are we, at the best that we can get, and it's all downhill from here? So it just led to a down day in the market. Investors aren't very excited, and they need to see something really positive to get them back in gear and, I think, trade with confidence. I just feel a lot of uncertainty and cautiousness in the market right now.
So the S&P tumbled nearly 2% today, Dow down 500 points, and they're saying this is entering that correction territory where from April, meeting where the stocks were in April, and it's at points during the day testing February lows, and it feels as if there is a lot of good economic data, and you've been talking about it regularly, but is it that there is so much baked in already that for the future that we are looking at something that where we need to sort of keep delivering these types of positive, overly positive results?
I don't think that's necessarily the case where there's too much already baked in. I do think that there's still a lot of potential here. We have a lot of companies that are going to be able to shine and show how well they can operate even when faced with some rising input costs, as if raw materials go up because of tariffs or if labor costs go up. And so I think there's, you know, an opportunity here for some businesses to really show their operating prowess. I think the problem is we've had some nice tailwinds. We had, you know, the Fed chairman, Jay Powell, come out, and we're calling it Powell's pivot, where he was, you know, 2 months ago aggressively talking about how we need to keep raising the interest rates. And his last statement was really a reversal of that, saying, well, we're probably close to where we need to be. And remember that the Fed is meeting next week, and we're going to get a press conference after that, the finish of that meeting on Wednesday. So we're going to hear more about that. The market's looking to him to have some reassuring comments. I think they just want a little hand-holding. You know, OPEC's production is getting cut. That's a, you know, benefit. Meanwhile, the consumer is still spending and doing quite well. You know, this drop in oil means a drop in gas prices. The consumer is healthy. Retail spend has been good. And we've got somewhat of a detente with China. That's still a big question mark. No one really knows what's going on with the trade situation there. And so I think that just continued uncertainty around that keeps the market guessing. And that's why people are just being as cautious as they can. Remember, it's going into year end, and this is not a particularly robust time in the market. People are usually pretty nervous, trying to say, well, I don't, you know, we're almost at year end. Let me just get through it, and we'll start again next year.
Reuters report about Johnson & Johnson. I know we don't always talk about specific stocks, but this one is really interesting and damning, actually, that their baby talcum powder overall, but often used on babies, that they knew for decades it was contaminated with asbestos, a known carcinogen, and that caused that stock to tumble. This is one of their signature products, of course, all of us are familiar with.
Well, it is, and that's a, you know, very damaging report to come out. This talcum powder issue for J&J has been around, and lawsuits around that have been in existence. This isn't a new story to hit, but that kind of publicity, that headline hitting right now, certainly not good for J&J. And remember that Johnson & Johnson is a very big component of many of the industries. It's a large company, and that brought healthcare down overall as the other stocks traded down in sympathy. And there's concern over what's going to happen there.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. Yeah. Tough stuff.
Yes. Well, right now, this year appears to, and you always warn us that it's the S&P 500 is what we really have to look at because it's a broader index of things as opposed to the Dow. The Dow is like the glory numbers. You know, that's the fun one that everybody likes to point to, but it mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily tell you about the economy. But the S&P 500, a little bit more of a diagnostic tool for that. And as the S&P 500 is going to close down on the year. So it's going to be, you know, from January 1 to December 31st, right now, as it stands, you're down.
Well, we are, but we also had a down 2% day today in the market. So I think what's most interesting to note here is the volatility, because we're going to close the week down, but down, you know, more like 1% levels. So we had a couple days this week where we were strongly positive. And we've seen that bounce back and forth. We're up, we're down. The market just is showing that volatility is back. They can't quite figure out what direction to go in. And I think it's because they're being buffeted by, you know, just a lot of different news flow, whether it's a J&J story that's raising concerns or it's a positive story that maybe, you know, we're getting closer to an actual deal with China. The investors are having a hard time absorbing that and trying to set themselves in a direction as to what's going to happen. They don't know whether to feel, you know, optimistic or negative. And I think we're seeing that bounce back and forth with the volatility in the market.
The president attributed the issues today in particular to the European and Chinese data about growth slowing, and said, well, you know, this attributing that mostly to the tariff situation, but he's seeming to promise that there's some sort of tariff solution around the corner. How important is that? Are the markets going to really reward him if there is some kind of a great deal with the tariffs, or is sort of insignificant in the grand picture?
Well, I think tariffs are certainly a big part of this, and that is the one issue that started raising concerns in the market because it couldn't be quantified, and there was an unknown to it. There's a lot of back and forth. It's, you know, we're reaching a deal. We had a good meeting. I'm a tariff guy. I'm against a meeting. We're not going to compromise. You were hearing statements on both sides of this, and the market in this case is now confronting an issue that is very important to it because we heard CEOs come out and talk about the potential impact to their raw material costs in the last quarter. So now we've quantified it, and we know it's a big deal. I think this is what heightened the concerns of the market. The market's going to pay attention to this, but it wants confirmed resolution. And I think this back-and-forth flip-flopping is what's caused some concern. The market needs some definitive statements around what's going to happen here before it settles down and is able to move past it.
All right. I'm worried, but I'm always worried.
I came pre-panicked
about all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a sense though that the China? One of the things that gets me here is that if the tariff situation does slow down China, it's kind of a back way of reversing a lot of economists and politicians, especially. And forget about economists because the politicians, they know less but they say more. Are people who are saying, you know, this is going to backfire? Is that, as somebody who looks at, you know, the global market situation, is this a backfire by having tariffs, or do we just have to go through this?
Well, I think, you know, I'm happy to have trade discussions going on between countries, and that needs to happen on an ongoing basis. It's healthy. It avoids getting into a situation where they are, you know, you're at the standoff where President Trump and President Xi are, you know, really seem to be at a standoff on what they're going to do. The tariffs is not the end of the economy. China was slowing already, and we know that. It doesn't mean China's gone negative or that they're, you know, going backwards in their growth. The Chinese economy is still growing. It's just not growing as fast. And so that's a problem, and that does create complications. It's hard to say if it's going to backfire or not because I don't think anyone can honestly say what the specific goals were for our tariff discussions. That still, you know, has yet to be identified to the street. So I think even the Chinese government is saying they're not clear what the Americans want. So we want some concessions here and there. It's hard to say if it's going to backfire on us or on them because we don't know what the goals were yet. But the Chinese economy is slowing as we expected. The headlines around it are unfortunate and not comforting with the trade discussions going on.
Well, that clears it totally up. Would you like to publicly apologize to Judy for what you said about her last night before you knew it was her?
Judy, I merely addressed the thought that a driver should potentially try to move to the side of the road, which you did. There was no shoulder there. And I'm so sorry that we didn't know it was you and stop to help push you out of the way so that you would be fine. I did notice, though, as we drove by that you were very comfortable in the front seat of your car.
Gummy bears. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
All right. Thanks, Judy. I'm sorry.
Okay.
At least Susan feels bad. Row.
Yeah. Right. I don't. Mm-mm. I mean, I should, but I don't. Okay.
Happy holidays,
Kim. Don't get in the way of this, Kim. Was she calling you for a ride? Why wasn't she calling you?
And I answered my phone, let me just tell you. And I waited at the restaurant until I heard from her that she was going to get picked up. But don't feel bad about it.
I don't. You know what's funny? Because I only get, you know, generally my phone blows up and I didn't notice. I just went home.
She didn't call me. I feel left out now.
Okay, that's right.
You're off the hook.
Although calling Violetta is really very funny because Violetta does know guys who got car wreckers. It's like, yeah, you need a thing? Somehow Violetta's got it.
Their own driveway,
right,
their personal driveway.
Guys who can do almost anything under any circumstances. What do you need done?
Very resourceful.
Yeah.
Violetta.
Yep, she is.
When I answer my phone.
Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
A judge says no cheese heads on the Bears field.